How's it going, Sha?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
I'm always good, Sha. I'm always good. Living life right here.
Oh, well, that's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's so nice. I love to hear it. I love to hear the positive vibes and all of that. That's nice.
It's good for a change.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I can't be mad. I had my dad came over and I had like far too long of a conversation about taxes. Like whenever he comes over, he just gets really like, yeah, I pay too much in taxes. And then he starts telling me about like a weird thing he's working on. like he came over today. You're peeking into my life so people see what I deal with this man. He just came over and said, "Gas, so I need your license." I said, "Okay." And then he puts his license and my siblings' licenses on the table. And he's like, "All right, I need you to send this to this number. Take pictures of all of them and send them to this guy." And I'm like, "All right, what's this for?" He's like, "Just do it. We'll talk later." And that's all I got. I took pictures of my own license, my siblings' licenses, and my dad's. And I just sent it to a random WhatsApp. No idea who it was. I hope, you know, they're not stealing my identity, but it's out there right now. Mm-hmm. He shows up like an hour later, and I'm like, "All right, cool. You guys now own the farm in DR." I'm like, "The fuck am I doing with a farm in DR?" He's like, "Don't ask questions. Just be happy." I'm like, He just left. Like, that's all I needed to know. I don't know what town. I don't know how big the farm. Do I have animals I got to take care of? I don't know anything about the dynamics. But, yeah, he's like, "I'll let you know some more later." Like, you know, like, I feel like I should have gotten more, like, info.
A little bit. Yeah. I feel like a little bit. Yeah, that would have been nice. Just, like, initially to tell you why he was sending. He needed a picture of your ID. You know, because that's odd to send. And also, how does one buy a farm via WhatsApp?
All questions I wanted to know. I ain't know. From my understanding, it's like, he's like, "Yo, this is how business is done." I'm like, "No, that's not." I'm like, I feel like I've done enough business to know that's not accurate. And he's like, "Gastor, you're okay as a comedian. I'm way more successful than you at this." And I was like, "Valid. But I'm also sure everything I do is legal. I can't, I don't know what farm I just bought, but that feels shady." But yeah, there's a farm. If you see my farm in DR, you know, just make sure, take pictures, send it over. I'd love to know what my property looks like, but I own a farm.
Wait, so who exactly owns it? You or the whole family?
I think it's like the three of us. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm gonna get more details later, but my dad is really big on that. It's just that now I know I gotta figure out how to like mow a lawn in DR without being there. Like, I'm not in that country. Like, you making it all
right.
You know, that's my only beef. I'm like, "Yo, at least the other stuff is in the same neighborhoods of Brooklyn. I can't be doing flights to DR. My Spanish ain't even that dope. Like, it's passive. I can order food." Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how to like, you know, manage people in Spanish about farm business. I don't know farm words in English. You know, I don't know what goes on farms. So I don't know any of the equipment you need to run the agriculture business. And I got to learn that in Spanish in another country.
Well, it sounds like the best option for you is for this to be a scam.
It sounds like
if it turns out to be a scam, that's actually a positive for you.
You're right.
Yeah. So you may want to just light a candle for scam, likely. That may be what you want to happen here. And I would be very sad for your father for losing the money that he did. But at the same time, you don't have to do all of this other extra shit because it was a scam.
I'm rooting for it. I'm going to see what happens. Yeah. But he seemed very like satisfied. Like, I feel like he got, if there's a scam, it's because he won.
Like, okay.
Yeah, like he, I feel real confident I have this farm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't want it, but I feel like I have it. I don't know how big the farm is. Like, I'm assuming it's like a little farm. Just because right. I didn't think we have farm money, you know?
But sure, it's also sure.
a farm in DR, so like that could still be huge, like by like for New York kid anyway, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
Man.
We got a farm That's out there. You know, so if you want to visit the farm, Sean, let me know.
I do not. Man, there are areas of middle Georgia where my family's from that I don't want to visit.
Why not? Why not?
Because the roads aren't paved. I'll go, but I ain't thrilled. You know what I mean? I gotta figure out which shoes I'm willing to sacrifice to Sandersville, Georgia. I don't know.
Yeah, he'd be making weird sales pitches. So he's like, gas oil, like, you can play catch. I'm like, I'm 37 years old. Like, what
is that what's been stopping you, that you weren't able to do it on a farm in the Dominican Republic? That's what's stopping you from playing catch.
Yeah, like, that's not the issue anymore. Be like, I stretch. My arm hasn't done that motion in years.
Right.
Like, my rotator cuff is wild stiff. Like, it has no need to do that motion at all. I can't do it, you know? But, yeah, he has dreams of that stuff. I think he still thinks I'm going to make the league. But, yeah.
He's got a lot of dreams. He's dreaming of a far. He's dreaming of you being a very popular and effective baseball player while also tending to your farm in the off season.
That's how it is. That's his vision.
Okay. Well, definitely be prepared to have full ownership of that farm. Even if on paper you don't, in practice that is yours and yours alone.
Is what it is.
You might as well rope your kids into it, because they will have to eventually take care of that farm.
Yeah.
As well. Oh, God.
You're going to see me, like, looking into... You're going to see, like, a whole bunch of weird Google searches in my computer next week. Like, can I sell farm and DR for cryptocurrency?
Oh, man.
Let's get into the news.
Yeah.
When can we go on vacation again? This is what experts say. I need to know this now, as I got to go visit this farm.
Yeah, that's right. It's very important that you know when we can leave, because you got business.
After reaching all-time highs in January of 2021, looks like the global coronavirus case numbers are beginning to drop with the vaccine rollouts are now underway worldwide. So people are excited for travel, but we need to know how long to wait. It looks like from most experts, they are saying that for travel to get back to pre-quarantine levels, we're going to have to wait until 2022. That's right. So don't get too hyped.
Man, ain't nothing getting back to the way it was before. Y'all stop. This is a brand new world we're in right now. Do you think how the 1920s was the way it was before the Spanish flu? Nah, they weren't dressing like flappers and listening to hot jazz and dripping gold on everywhere. No, it's a brand new world. It's not. We will, I think, get to travel again, but it's going to be different than what we've seen.
What are you envisioning?
I think overall across the globe, perhaps, masks are going to be more accepted and maybe even expected than what we were doing before. Because before this, the only places I saw, where a large part of the population were wearing masks were like China or Japan.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, let's do that here. Like, I can't believe I would see kids like NYU students walking around with masks on a few years ago. And I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you right. That's exactly what we should be doing. I don't know why I'm not doing it, but I feel you on this. So I think that's going to be a thing that's going to be around for a while.
Okay.
travel wise, I don't know. It's hard to say because, I mean, people are still traveling, and it's just, we have to change people's minds in so many drastic ways,
right,
that it's even to even think about when do we get back to normal is insane, because we're not even willing to do what's necessary to stop this from spreading the way that it spread.
Right.
So what makes you think that we're just going to be able to jump on a plane when you don't even want to get a shot? You know what I mean? Like,
you don't deserve normal.
You don't even want to put a mask on, you know, for the duration of like a flight from Atlanta to New York. I call it a jitney. It lasts like an hour and 35 minutes. It's not even that long. And like, you don't even want to keep a mask on for all of that, but you want to know when you're going to be able to travel again, when you're able to keep a mask on, because that's what helps.
That's fair.
So I don't think, I mean, like, it really depends on the people. And I mean, the reason that they're even saying 2022 is because the people ain't acting right. If the people acted right, it could be sooner, but people ain't acting right. So now we got to figure in the X factor of people being hard-headed into the science. We got to add hard-headed into the science to figure out when we're going to be able to take our little trip to Tulum again.
I love that that's like a real calculation they got to make now. Like, this is the math, this percentage for stubbornness.
Yeah.
It's really like a thing they have to consider. I will say, I like the mask idea everywhere. I do think that like if I'm touching elbows with somebody for 4 hours, I am concerned with how well the mask is going to work regardless. Like, because like the mask is like 90% effective if I have it on during an interaction, right? Like if I'm talking to you face to face, it's 90% effective, right? So 5 minute convo, risk reduced 10% to down to 10%. But if I'm next to you for 4 hours for this flight,
right?
You know what I mean? Like even if it's 10% reduction for that 5 minutes, I'm next to you for 4 albums.
So now you see what I mean by so many changes have to be made. So now we got to figure out what are we doing on planes to make sure that we're getting that there's enough intake from outside air in to even. But is that even how that works? Because we're in a sealed cabin.
Right.
And then there's the seating. Okay, so you don't want to be all up on each other. So now we got to stagger the seating. Well, then how are we going to make money? Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
What the fuck were you taking from us this whole time? Y'all ain't hold on to none of that? And, you know, so there's that as well. So these are all changes that have to be made. And even if you work towards them as a company and you're trying to make these changes, that's supposed to be for the betterment of humankind in order to use your product, in order to do what they need to do.
Right.
There's still going to be some asshole who opens up a bag of popcorn right when you take off. And you know, you can keep your mask off as long as you have food or drink and then eat it like half a kernel at a time for the duration of the flight, because then they don't have to keep their mask on. So now you fucking up the cabin with the smell of popcorn and your funky ass COVID breath. Like, what do we, you know what I mean? Stupidity. So now we got to add that into the,
I said, you know. Flights should be smoothies only.
Smoothies only.
That's
ooh,
it.
I feel for that bathroom. We might need to put another
mask in the bathroom, but you don't want to.
You don't want to do that. Yeah. You absolutely.
You are free to.
Right. But I don't know because, you know, I'd like to go on a trip. I mean, I want to ride that Atlanta jitney down and check on my sister, but I don't, as far as long-term travel, I mean, before all of this started, I was just filling out paperwork for baby's first passport. So, you know, I'm not necessarily missing out on, and that's only because, you know, we were going to need it just to fly domestically. It would just be easier to use a passport.
Right.
I wasn't even like, and then I'm going to go to Tokyo. No, I ain't have those dreams. I just wanted an easier piece of, an easier, how do I streamline this ID situation? So I don't know if I'm the one to talk to, because I ain't got no dreams. So maybe take everything I've just said with a grain of salt, everyone.
Yeah. Oh man, we got to the core of Shalewa right now.
Yeah, all right. Oh, I ain't got no deal.
So, very different speech from Martin Luther King's version.
Yeah, I have no it is the saddest remix you'll ever hear, but it's just as heartfelt.
Oh man, is Bansky behind the prison escape mural on the wall of a notorious British jail? Artwork depicting a prisoner's daring escape has appeared on the wall of a British jail, prompting excited speculation that it was painted by the elusive street artist Bansky.
Banksy.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Banksy.
He out here getting daring. You know what I mean? I'm always impressed with these things, like how he pulls this off. The painting depicts Irish poet Oscar Wilde, who at one point was held at the same prison, which is no longer functioning, by the way. We don't want people thinking that Bansky, while brave, isn't that brave. That's kind of gangster if you paint on a active jail guy getting away. Like, yo, these are instructions right. of how to get out. That would be really, really impressive. But yeah, I'm always impressed with how like he pulls this stuff off with nobody noticing. This is type high up. Like, my man, like, at the very least, like, I'm assuming it's like a 20-foot fence. And he started from the top of the fence, showing, like, mm-hmm. the criminal getting out. And, yeah, like, how do you not notice, like, is he short? Like, I don't know what his secret is.
I don't, no one knows. I mean, like, you know, I haven't done as much research into Banksy as maybe I should, but this is notable to me because I'm like, wow, it works from the top down, and I'm trying to think. But I mean, he's done things that have been pretty tall and pretty big also. It's not all just little rats at the bottom of a wall or anything. But I mean, you know, he's done that kind of stuff too.
That was my favorite work because I was in my hood, the little rats on the wall. I was in East New York.
And like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I loved it because like, it lasted like 4 hours because somebody figured out it was Bansky and it was worth money. So somebody tried to like break it out of the wall.
Oh, East New York. Never change. Never change. Never. Oh, wow. That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he? Good for him. It looks like his style, kind of. I mean, who else is... The thing about Banksy is he would be someone who would do this during a pandemic because this is his art. He's drawn to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? At this point, anyone who would have, I don't know. I think it's probably him. Again, I can't verify art because I don't know shit.
I figured the
but
only
it's also
thing,
wild. Whatever. Oh, no, I was going to say it's also wild that he verifies his own, whether or not his art is his own on his Instagram, which is wild because I'm like, why does Banksy? I mean, I get why Banksy has an Instagram, but also considering like the history of Banksy, it's just wild that he just opens up an Instagram and then comes through and he's like, yeah, I did that one. And then just bounces when it used to be you had to try and figure out whether or not it was Banksy. And now he just kind of comes in with a heart and then dips. It's like, well, all right. It kind of takes the fun out of it a little bit, Banksy. But okay, yeah, whatever.
The man of mystery is a little gone. For sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
We definitely know he's a white guy, right? Like, that's the only thing we can assume, just because, like, there's no way, like, he would get away with this stuff if he weren't a white guy.
Yeah, no, that's safe.
I feel
that's
like
absolutely
that's a
safe,
like, assumption. Like, yo, why are you tagging up this wall at, you know, 3 a.m? Mm-hmm. You know, like, that whole interaction has to have happened at least once, and it goes very differently for us versus him. So I'm assuming, you know,
white guy.
He's a white guy, you know? So yeah, I think that's the only thing we can do. I'm almost to the point to where I think he's a cop.
He's got to have a friend who's a cop.
Yeah, like he's got to have
but,
like
I mean,
connect. Like, oh nah, call my man's like, you know, Sergeant, Sergeant Smith. That's my cousin. You know, like
yeah, it takes a village to make a Banksy. You know,
right? True.
It's not that's not necessarily a solitary pursuit. You know what I mean? You got to have a good lawyer. You got to have someone on the inside who will handle, you know, when people are yelling for the cops to do something. Because he did a few things over the past year.
Right.
It says here in the piece, last April, He posted a set of images to Instagram showing riotous rats graffitied around his bathroom in a nod to those adjusting their lifestyle due to COVID-19. The artist added a caption, "My wife hates it when I work from home." The following month, he honored healthcare workers with an image titled Game Changer, which featured a child playing with a nurse doll wearing a mask and cape. And last July, the artist posted an Instagram video showing him spray painting an image of a rat onto a London underground train as he urged people to wear a face mask. It was later removed by transportation authorities for violating their strict anti-graffiti policy.
It's too living life, yo.
Yeah, you know, he's doing all right. It's just nice to know that Banksy is still out here. You know what I mean? If there's anyone I absolutely hadn't thought about in the past year, it's been Banksy.
Word.
So good for him for even,
when
you know.
When he started doing these, I was like, y'all should start like a fake persona. And like,
of course you did.
You start to get to know me, Shy. You see how
I see it. Yeah, yep, got it, yep.
Yo, but I saw this, I was like, yo, I should start like an alternate rap persona and like put out songs and not tell people it's me. But then I was like, all right, so then I'm just like two unsuccessful artists.
You know, right.
Oh, I can't have that. Dr. Oz saved a man's life at an airport using CPR and a defibrillator. That's right. Dr. Oz just detailed his life-saving heroics at the airport. He says the defibrillator shocked the man at the highest power possible, and it worked. In essence, bringing the man back to life. Dr. Oz tells us the man collapsed with no pulse and was turning a horrible color and had foam coming out of his mouth when he started CPR. That's brave. But things turned around when Oz was able to control the man's airway when the defibrillator arrived. Like props to this man for doing some medical work finally. I didn't know he was a real doctor at this point.
I that's literally what I was getting ready to say. I thought he was just a doctor in that Oprah way where He said a couple of things about losing weight, and she lost a couple of pounds listening to him, and so she gave him a television show, like she did with Dr. Phil. You know what I mean? Like just kind of a nebulous, like here you go, here's a show. I don't know. So I just didn't think that he was a legit doctor. And also, this is great, but if you are a medical person in any way out there, please let me know if I'm correct. But isn't the point of a defibrillator is to shock you back to life? Like, the way this is written, it's so breathless and there are so many exclamation points. And maybe that's just because it's TMZ.
You know it.
But he's just like, you know, the defibrillator shocked the man at the highest power possible and it worked. In essence, bringing the man back to life from the okay, yeah.
That's what it does.
But that's literally, I mean, I learned that from ER, you know, clear, and then everyone moves out the way because there's a huge, so I mean, like, he's just doing what he's supposed to be doing, but good on him for even knowing what to do with that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, not always, I mean, but again, if he watched enough ER, maybe he would know how to, you know what I mean? Like, once I was outside of a club and a guy fell and hit his head pretty hard and started bleeding, and someone was like, oh, maybe someone should call an ambulance. And I literally called 911 and asked for a bus.
Okay.
To come to the club I was at. And then I hung up and someone was like, did you ask for a bus? And I was like, I watch a lot of Law and Order. So if I watch enough Law and Order to know that cops call an ambulance a bus, and I watch enough ER to know that you're supposed to yell clear before you rub them paddles together and pink. I mean, good on Dr. Oz, but also, you know, not saying anyone could do it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I am surprised that he is one of the few that can do it.
Yeah. Good on him, but still.
Much respect to him, too, for figuring out how to only wear scrubs every day for the rest of his life. Like, his dude, rain or shine, work, day off, he is in scrubs. It doesn't matter what situation is. Flight day, you got to go from New York to Cali in scrubs. Mm-hmm. wedding anniversary, I'm in scrubs. It don't matter. You always see this dude in scrubs. I want to live that life with windbreakers. You know what I
mean? Are scrubs really comfortable?
I would assume they are, but they're not like sneaky. Like, I feel like they like make noise when you move still.
That's true. But they always seem to me like they bind right at the hips. And that could be because usually I'm seeing them on women with larger hips or posteriors.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're a little tight, like right where the thighs meet your ass, because they're just like cutouts of pants. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like cutout dolls, but with an outfit. And so I feel like there's not much. Like, I don't know if I could get comfortable in scrubs, because I feel like I wouldn't have the full range of motion that I would have in like a pair of leggings almost.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like scrubs are a little tight, in the way that when you see women with fat asses and they are wearing a uniform, and the uniform is like, you know, those polyester like Dickies or something like that.
Right, right.
There's a particular fit. And that's why scrubs, where it pulls a little bit across the front, but, you know, it gapes right at the waist, but the ass is filling up all of that pant that wasn't built for that ass.
Right, right, right.
So then, you know, they have to go home and take it in at the waist so it looks a little bit, you know what I mean? There's a lot of, I don't know, but I mean, who's altering scrubs? Anyway, that's just.
I mean, I admittedly have never stepped to that side of the Dickies aisle. I only wear the construction janitor worker look. I'll try it, you know, see if I start a new trend with these gangs, you know what I mean? Speaking of, Tekashi 6ix9ine is being sued by his former force field of protection, aka his patrol guard. That's right. As you guys know, Tekashi 6ix9ine was constantly in fear for his life around 2018, and he's being sued by the Metropolitan Patrol, which claims it provided protection for him, including 11 days in November of 2018. Part of that time, Tekashi was in LA rolling deep with bodyguards, as seen in several pictures posted in this TMZ article.
How tall is this 6ix9ine fella?
I mean, he's got to be like five. Like, he looks pint size.
Oh, okay. So he's little.
Yeah, he looks petite for sure.
He got the nerve to snitch, and he's 5'5".
He can't see him.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a very excellent point.
It's a tactic. It works. You know what I mean? Oh, man, these dudes is wild. I can't imagine being a snitch and being this short. It's the this takes bravery. I agree with you, Sha.
Like, yeah, I mean, to be as out there as he is.
Yeah, like, I would.
Do you know what
I
mean?
Like, if he was talking this much shit today, I would understand, like, oh, this dude is talking wild smack on Zoom because we can't see how big he is. You know, we all the same height
right.
on here. But he was outside. Like, he was in the hoods. Yeah, this dude brave, man. He commendable. They were charging him 85 hour a day during the day. Late night shifts were $127.50 an hour. This dude is racking up a bill protecting his life. All in all, Tekashi is said to have owed them $75,000 in protection. I read this whole article and I just felt like I was misusing my size. This whole time, I want to become a security guard.
Yeah, but do you don't want to do that? Because one, you ain't going to get paid, so that's going to be an issue. You're going to have a problem with that by day two. Like, hey, how are we doing this direct deposit? And he'll just be like, I don't know, man. You'll get it when you get it. And you're like, nope. And then you'll pick him up and hold him against the wall until he gives you a form to fill out, you know, until he asks for your routing numbers. But yeah, you don't want to do that. And then also, I feel like in your heart, you would be like holding people back as he tried to walk through a crowd. And in your head, you'd be like, I can't believe I'm holding people back for this idiot. So like, I mean, you know,
you
I just feel
all
like
these punches.
Yeah. You probably let one slip through, you know? Yeah. You won't be it. You wouldn't be a good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Sha.
I'm just trying to help you out. This ain't going to
I feel better about it now.
Yeah, this ain't gonna be for you.
I will say, like, if Tekashi said, yeah, I'm gonna pay y'all, I need you to fill out this form, I'd feel very weird about giving him my social security number. Like, he's just not someone I trust with my vital info. Like, yo, I need your direct deposit. I need your checking account. And
yeah, I also feel like he there's no way his people involved would be getting that information from you. Yeah. They literally would just be like, small bills or large bills. You know what I mean?
Like, you might
want it in nickels.
That. Yeah. That's about it. You ain't getting
yeah.
Oh, man. It's been a bonus episode of the War Report. If you're a fan of the show, please like and subscribe to the show. Send us in any articles that you'd like for us to cover. DM us directly at Silky Jumbo, at GastroAlmonte on Twitter or Instagram. If you're an Apple listener, please rate us 5 stars. We're always a fan of those. 4 stars are cool too, but we got to talk about why, because that's just weird.
This is a labor of love. We need to know what's happening that's making you withhold that
sincerely,
last star.
Sincerely, if you go through the whole effort just to give us 4 stars, you know, send me a DM. Let me know what's in your heart. It's like, what's going on? With that said, my name is GastroAlmonte, always with the homie Shalay with Sharp. This has been the War Report. Catch y'all next week. Peace. Light turns to the dark. Gun smoke fills your nose. But the violence starts once the guns go cold. A prayer in the dark. Lord, let me grow old. Cause the block gets hard. Tears to the dark, gun smoke fills your nose, but the violence starts once the guns go cold. A prayer in the dark, Lord, let me grow old, cause the block gets hard once the guns go cold. Catch y'all next week. Peace.